is good, I believe. Hello, everybody. I'd like to thank Andrew Diel for interpreting tonight. Welcome back, everybody. It's been a while since we've been here. Welcome to the Recreation Committee meeting number 2, November 20th, 2025, 6 p.m. at the City Council Chambers. In front of you, you have the agenda. The first thing we do is we do the adoption of agenda. We'll need a mover. Moved by Deputy Mayor Smith, seconded by Heather Casey. We'll go move right along to minutes. Oh, shoot. Yeah, sorry. All in favor of adoption of the agenda? Perfect. We'll go right into minutes. One, minutes from Recreation Committee meeting number 1, dated February 13th, 2025. We'll need a mover. Moved by Deputy Mayor Smith, seconded by Heather Casey. All in favor? Unanimous. We'll go down to declaration of interest. Oh, over here, Rob. Do we have any declaration of interest for tonight? Seeing none. We'll go into delegations, and we'll have Bill talk to a letter that was sent in last night. Go ahead, Bill.
Thank you, Chair, and good evening, everybody. So just wanted to provide a bit of context and clarity for those of the public and members of the committee. So last night we did get a letter just regarding use of the AWG and the Arnie Took Arena from the Nunavut Speed Skating Association. We got that about 10 p.m. last night. It didn't request a formal delegation in that letter, but it did bring some concerns that the recreation director has replied to. As a reminder, in general, we have a cutoff for delegations the Wednesday prior to the meeting to get on the package and to meet the translation deadlines that can be requested via the clerk's office, and the information is on the city's website, and we also typically anything that's coming into the meetings for you also has to be translated, so that's why we have those deadlines, just to meet those guidelines. So always happy to hear from the public, and wanted to inform you we did get that letter last night, but we can't get it translated to bring it into the meeting tonight, and the Director of Recreation has responded to them, and we'll have some updates in his general recreation updates. So with that, I thank the Chair for recognizing that for a moment, and turn it back over.
Thank you, Bill, for that update. I don't think there will be any general comments on that since nobody has the letter in front of them. We'll move right along to number 4, deferred business and tabled items. It's a verbal from the Director of Sports and Rec, Brenton McNeil. Go ahead, Brenton.
Thank you very much, and good evening, everyone. So since our previous meeting, we've actually been able to implement the lottery selection system for the first time during our summer day camp that just passed. This was successful on our end, and we were able to make modifications with the current software that we use to adjust our process from the first come, first serve selection to a randomized lottery selection. This created a more fair and equitable approach for youth to get selected for this programming, which is usually pretty competitive and can fill up quickly. Part of the reason why we were able to not only accommodate some more spaces was because we were able to actually hire 29 day camp leaders as well. And we were able to run out of two different facilities and accommodate up to about 160 kids per week. Overall, there was a bit of a learning curve on our end moving to this lottery style system, but overall it was successful and we plan to continue using this approach in the future for other programs. Thank you.
Thank you, Brenton. I can open up the floor for comments. First one on the list is Heller Casey. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. I'm so glad to hear that it was a successful day camp this summer. I think that what I heard from parents, they were fine with moving to randomized selection, but many parents with multiple children or with children of the same or similar age had concerns because they weren't able to get both of or many of their children into the same camps when that makes sense logistically for them. So is that going to be taken into account the next intake?
Thank you, Heather. Go ahead, Brenton.
Thank you for the question, Hillary. So at the beginning, when we were first trialing the system, we were unable to do so. Throughout the summer, before we ended up using the selection process, we were actually able to group families and siblings together and also have a category for individuals who are being enrolled on their own. So we were actually able to keep siblings and family members together during that selection process.
Thank you, Brenton. Any more comments? Go ahead. Sorry, go ahead, Laura.
Thank you. I wanted to speak to the lottery system used during swimming lessons this past fall. I wanted to recognize the proactiveness of the pool coordinator when, because this is, once a child is registered, the email is automatically generated, which can, for many parents and guardians, end up in a spam box. However, 2 weeks after the commencement of swimming lessons, she reached out to parents and guardians individually, and I thought that was incredibly thoughtful and time-consuming on her part, but did so willingly to ensure that parents and guardians were well informed and also, you know, raising awareness around the lottery system overall. So I wanted to publicly recognize that that staff.
Thank you, Laura. That's that was sounds like a general comment. Any more comments on this on this item? Okay, I'd like to welcome Lisa Ipoli here. She just walked in. A busy day for interpreters with our new appointees today. So we'll go right along into new business. 5A, general recreation updates, verbal. And again, it's Brenton McNeil. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. I guess I'll start off with addressing the concerns with the AWG. So more or less just referencing the public service announcement that went out that we as a city recognize that has impacted user groups not being able to use that facility. We are actively working on getting that up and running as soon as possible. And we do apologize for the inconvenience on that. So again, there's majority of that information that could be shared is posted in the PSA that went out yesterday. So just wanted to touch base on that briefly before going into more general positive updates within our department since the last meeting. Okay. So starting off, since the previous time that we met in February, we were approved by council to cover the remaining funds needed to install outdoor turf for the infield at the baseball diamond. We have now had the hot tub up and running, which was previously down for quite a while, so it's exciting to have. We have also, since council has approved on August 5th, waiving youth fees for using the pool, we've had close to 5,000 youth actually utilize that since then, which is pretty amazing to see. Also, a couple other updates, and then I'll kind of go into some more specifics for sub-departments. Over the summer, we are also able to, as I said earlier, hire 29 day camp leaders and accommodate up to over 150 kids for our summer day camp per week. We also were able to include bus transportation, as we utilize the curling rink as more of a multi-sport space, as well as the AWG. So we were able to split up groups and also take the buses to and from facilities to eliminate any risks of kids walking to and from, which was made a huge impact, positive impact. And from here, I'll just go into a few more general updates through some of the sub-departments within REC. Starting off with aquatics, we've been able to include a number of new swims, such as master swim, adult open swims, youth sports swims, weekend aquafit, additional parent and tot swims, as well as, again, reopening the hot tub. We've been able to deliver, from a programming side, two sessions of swimming lessons in the winter and fall. Junior lifeguarding club, we've offered a national lifeguard course and recertification, national lifeguard instructor course, as well as bronze combo as well. We offered a four-week summer day camp, or swim camp, over the summer as well. And we offered two separate special events this year. One was in partnership with Alionite, and we had a DJ and free swim, which was a lot of fun and went over well. For a couple of statistics for swim lessons, we had 224 registered in our winter program and have 191 registered for fall swimming lessons. We were able to actually work and get funding from QIA in May, and we're able to offer 3,125 free swim passes to Inuit youth under the age of 30. We were also in the process of doing that once again and changed the project a little bit once it was approved from council to waive youth fees for under 18. And since then, we've actually transitioned and been able to cover the cost of swimming lessons for Inuit youth, and that has been 78 registration fees that we've been able to cover and allow people to access swimming lessons for free. This year, as of currently, we've had over 33,000 people use our pool, which is already a nice increase from last year of 27,000 people. And those are my main updates from aquatics. And to the fitness side of things, we were able to implement a summer boot camp where we had on-the-turf drop-in sessions every Saturday. Our Jimmy Killebuck run this year, we had over 150 participants, which was fantastic to see everyone come out and participate in that. We won our Participaction Most Active Community in Nunavut Challenge and were awarded $15,000 to go towards sports equipment and physical activity promotion. We were able to introduce a variety of new fitness classes and upgrade multiple pieces of equipment and machines in that space as well. From a community programming and events side, we had an after-school program from January into March with 40 kids that were registered. We were able to implement a youth and elders cooking program, which took place at our youth center and at the elders' kumuk. We had our annual Tunic Time events that was very successful again this year. We partnered with Alienite to help and collaborate during NIPD Day to also provide additional support and resources to make sure that that event was successful, which we worked very well together. And our summer day camp, as I mentioned, we were able to hire 29 day camp leaders, use two facilities, and have bus transportation, which was exciting. And into...
Amaro Makutukovic, Tana, Ajiging it to Pilrangi, Akigasamalatavo, Nikilir Nongo, Nutui Nong Kano, Amaro Nunalero Gina, Hadi Sarna, Curling Wing Milo. Atoktayun nagatanglote uwik kanu turang ayu pilreangin teman na akisui lori bobo ammalo mana atoktayu kayu in nagoyuktu mitsano ukaw sa ribaka pingwarto lariko o yan namin. Dan
that's one thing that my colleague Kimberly Smith advocated on doing, and that's really amazing. And I'll open up the floor for comments. And on my list, I have Kimberly Smith. Go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. Just kudos to the Recreation Department. You guys are really, you've been killing it, and you've been so visible and doing so many wonderful things in town. Like, even I just think the pumpkin carving contest, like, that was such a huge hit and, like, a fun event. I got to be a judge, which was really, really fun for me. Like the chili cook-off, which selfishly I did enter and kicked butt in, if I do say so myself. Hillary, you tried my chili. It was pretty good. But you've been doing so much amazing things, and I just really, I can't, I guess, give my thanks enough. You guys have been really knocking it out of the park, so I'm excited to see that continue. So thank you.
Thank you, Kimberly. If there's no other comments, Rob Strutz, go ahead.
First off, I just want to say congratulations to Breton on his performance at the Arctic Sports event that just happened this past weekend. He did quite well. Congratulations. I had no idea. my one question that's mentioned a few times, and I think it's great that there was 29 youth leaders leading the day camps. I think that's amazing. And I'm just wondering, is that going to be sustainable for the future? Is that funding going to be around for the future? Thank you.
Thank you. I see Robin, and I never called you Robin ever. Rob, thank you for that. If you could answer that, Brendan, go ahead.
Thank you very much. First off, Rob, I appreciate that. And yes, that is the plan. We should have the funding available to kind of continue to even try and increase the amount of leaders that we can hire for next summer. We work very closely with ARPAN, and they provide us a week-long training here about a month prior to summer day camp starting, where they help fund and fly in other recreation leaders from other communities as well, and provide basically a week-long training session. But to answer your question, we do plan on continuing to be able to sustain those numbers, yes.
Thank you, Brenton. Any more comments? Oh, I see Laura. Go ahead.
Thank you. Part of the success of the aquatics program in terms of Inuit youth passes and continued partnership between the city and Kikitani Inuit Association is, I think, should be attributed to those who provide us with feedback. Parents, guardians, stakeholders, city staff, even the boarding home had so much feedback to provide, and in speaking up and even speaking out, addressing some of the challenges in trying something new led to additional funding that QIA could secure to continue with aquatics programming. So I want to encourage or keep encouraging parents and guardians and various stakeholders to provide feedback, because it's, you know, by raising their own concerns or their everyday lives that we can make, you know, accommodations, reduce barriers, and make it available to all. Thank you.
Thank you for that comment, Laura. I don't see anybody else on the queue. Oh, Joanna, go ahead.
Nakovic, just a general question. What's going on with the POS system at the pool? Because essentially, like, from what I've seen, it is really only cash only. Like, it's not working.
Thank you for that question, Joanne. Bill or Brent, go ahead.
Thank you for the question, Joanne. We had somebody from IT there today. We are actually in the process of ordering a new POS system. So from my understanding, that has been the original one that was installed in the facility. So we are in the process of updating that right now. Thank you.
Seeing no other people on queue for the first item, so we'll go right along to the next item here. It's verbal again, and we'll open up for questions after. But Brenton, go ahead for Christmas games update.
Thank you very much. So I just wanted to provide a brief update of where we're at with our Christmas games planning. There is a December events calendar attached to the agenda. As you can see, starting on the 22nd, we will have 8 nights of Christmas games total hosted this year at Cadet Hall. So we were able to add in a few extra in comparison to last year. We are working with Juana Siakumlik again. He's helping us plan and organize the games. He's going to be the main MC for most of the nights, and our department is working and meeting with him, helping plan logistics in terms of scheduling, selecting games, prizes, sending out sponsorship and donation letters, and everything else along those lines. And also just wanted to mention, anyone who's interested in helping out or volunteering or wants to get involved, please reach out, because we can always use some more support and assistance for such a large community event. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Brenton. Bill has something to say. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, and just before you open the floor there, I just wanted to thank, first of all, QIA as one of the sponsors for Christmas Games. There's a lot of funders and supporters, so I believe that's going to the next council meeting. But also, just as a reminder to all the supporters over the years for Christmas Games, we appreciate any support, both in-kind and volunteer time assisting with actually running the games. That's, I think, half the fun. But also the monetary donations, they're all helpful. But if you can't give money, give time, and we appreciate all the help we can get. So thank you.
Thank you for that, Bill. Next on my list here is Laura. Go ahead, Laura.
Do you require a vulnerable sector check to volunteer at Christmas Games?
Brendan, you want to answer that?
Thank you for the question, Laura. Yeah, we would require some kind of documentation to confirm that there would be no conflicts there volunteering in an environment like that. Yes.
Thank you, Brendan. Any more questions for my colleague to the left? If there's nothing, we'll go on to the next item on our list, which would be community event ideas. And Brenton, it's you again.
Thank you very much. As discussed earlier in the meeting, we've been trying to include some new one-off events this year, such as the pumpkin carving contest. We had a very successful haunted house and carnival games in October as well, and included multiple other events throughout the year. And this was just more or less an item that I wanted to throw out there and get any suggestions or ideas for future events that we could implement, you know, big, large, whatever the idea may be. Just always trying to come up with new creative things that we can do for the community, and wanted to ask for suggestions. Thank you.
Okay. First person on my list, Deputy Mayor Smith. Go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. I've got a few. I'm always like texting Brenton with random ideas that I have, so I'll put them on the record here now. So we always do the Christmas light contest, which I think is wonderful and super fun, but there were a lot of people who did a lot for Halloween this year, so I think that would be a pretty fun like contest that we could run in town. Like I know... I can think of like the Etheridge household, for example, that, you know, puts a lot of work into Halloween. When I was as a kid here, I remember, and it hasn't been done for years, but we used to do like strong man, strong woman competitions outside in the summertime, which were very fun. I remember one year Joanne Faulkner was the strongest woman in Iqaluit, so it's the only one I can recall. But something like that, which is not too hard to put on, but like pretty fun, I think it was last summer where you guys did the, it was like an obstacle course kind of thing that was really, really fun, and finding a way to do that outside I think would be great. One idea that I've thought about for a while, because I know we do the Jimmy Killebuck run, I've measured the distance from the Four Corners all the way to the new landfill site and back, and that is a half marathon. So we could do the City of Iqaluit dump run as a concept, but just thought I'd throw that out there. Those are just a few of the things swimming around in my brain, so thank you.
Thank you for that, Deputy Mayor Smith. I'm sure those would definitely clean up the city, the last one there. And I think Brenton wrote those down. I can see that. Those are some awesome ideas, to be honest. But next on my list is Joanne. Go ahead.
Thanks. Not so much an event, so to say, like Kim's amazing ideas. Something I've really noticed is because we have so many more kids coming swimming, a lot of them are not in like really swimsuits. Like kudos to the rec and the lifeguards for not kicking kids out who don't have like what would be seen in the South as appropriate swimming gear. I'm wondering if it's with the city or other community partners of doing like a swimsuit drive to try and get kids in the proper gear. And like, you know, bring in gently used stuff that could be passed down to try and help get even more kids over there.
Thank you, Joanne, for that question. And I'll give that to Brenton to comment on. Go ahead, Brenton.
Thank you, Joanne. And I agree. I think that's a great idea. That was a conversation that we originally had. And I do think that that's something that could easily be done. We could set up some space in the aquatic center, maybe set up some times where people could donate, drop off items. But I think that's something we could definitely look into coordinating in the near future. Thanks.
Thank you for that, Brenton. Next on my list is Hillary Casey. Go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. Joanne, I think that's a wonderful idea. And the Pivini Thrift Store also says that swimsuits are one of the most in-demand articles of clothing that they have, particularly for people who are here on medical boarding. where they arrive in town and they may not have a swimsuit with them, PVNeet, they can't keep them in stock. So there's a potential partnership idea there as well in doing a swimsuit drive. I think that's a wonderful idea. I also, one of the successful and fun activities that we've done in the past are things like most miles or kilometers swam, or, you know, most active participant in the gym, and that you can track using people's FOB sign-ins. So just to reward maybe some of your more frequent guests, and also to motivate some other people, some other patrons that might want to come and participate. Those are just a couple of ideas.
Thank you for that, Hillary. I see that he wrote all those down. next on my list, unless you want to comment on what she brought up. Okay, go ahead, Brenton.
I was just going to say thank you for your comment, Hillary, and I agree. I think that could be a good partnership to have, and finding some of those easy reward systems for our dedicated and loyal members, I think, is a good idea and a nice addition to be able to provide to those members. Thank you.
All right. Next on my queue is Laura Thompson. Go ahead.
Thank you. Fantastic idea, Joanne, for the swimsuit drive. It's one of the, probably the number one concern that is brought to QIA as one of the barriers. In partnership with the city, we will be trying a goggle box, which has been used by staff in the south. So, especially during swimming lessons, so those are on order, and we'll be following all the necessary, you know, cleaning procedures and so on. And so we're going to be trying some new things there. One thing that came to mind, yesterday evening I was at the library for a public event hosted by CUSO International, and while they're recognized as, you know, decades of work in international development, they also have a small grants youth program for Northern Indigenous communities. And they offer for youth initiatives up to $5,000. And it includes sports and arts and mental health and various activities. And so if there are any parents, regardless, guardians, teachers, or anyone involved with youth, currently they use a Government of Canada definition for youth between the ages of 15 and 30. However, they won't turn away a project if submitted, for instance, by a 12-year-old or a 13-year-old. So projects seen in other communities in the other two territories are as young as 12. And so it's giving me ideas about swimsuit drives and so on. But they need to come from, the ideas need to come from youth. Ideally, let's say age 12 to 30.
Thank you for that, Laura. If there's any more ideas you guys want to give to Brenton here, the floor is still open. If not, Rob Strutz, go ahead.
Just a question, like, if I don't have an idea right now, but if something comes to me, can I just send you an email? Is that okay?
Yes, absolutely. Definitely send me an idea, and that goes for anyone throughout the week, throughout the day. Something pops into your mind, please feel free to send me an email and reach out anytime. Thanks.
Yes, I'm going to definitely be brainstorming. I didn't quite brainstorm before coming here for ideas or what you're looking for ideas to do a community events. What I'm trying to say is you're trying to do this for the whole year with recreation. I see you're nodding your head, so I'll definitely be jotting down some ideas for you to hopefully bring to another recreation community meeting. If there's no other cues on the floor here, obviously you can message Brenton here on email or call him. He's always available. Oh, I got one here now. Go ahead, Hillary.
I'm going to steal the thunder of our own social committee at the Department of Finance by suggesting this. But years ago, there used to be corporate challenges where departments would face off against each other for a number of different skills. Maybe it was activities. Maybe it was a rubber duck race at the pool or whatnot. But the same concept could be applied to maybe some of our businesses and corporate partners in the community to do a sort of March Madness bracket style face-off where businesses can sign up and they have to outdo each other with, you know, benevolent acts in the community. I don't know. It's just an idea, but it's a fun way to build their profile and also community spirit, you know, amongst some of our more corporate partners. Thanks.
Thank you for that, Hillary. Brenton has a comment. Go ahead, Brenton.
Thank you for that. Yeah, thank you, Hillary, for that suggestion. It is not included in the calendar as there's still some things that need to be figured out, but we actually are planning on offering something like that to lead up to the Christmas games as a bit of a corporate challenge. So we are on the same page with that. Thank you.
Can't wait till all these come together because it brings the community together, and that's what the recreation is all about, is bringing everyone together. If there's no any other suggestions on community event ideas, we'll go right along to the next item, which is Hockey Helps the Homeless game. And go ahead, Brenton.
Thank you. This was more or less an item that I wanted to bring some attention to for those who may not have been aware that this was approved by City Council on October 28th, that there's going to be a Hockey Helps the Homeless alumni NHL game hosted here over the weekend of March 21st, 2026. So it's pretty exciting to be happening in our rec facilities. City Council also approved us to support this event by waiving facility and ice time fees while also offering additional staffing and resources during that weekend to help accommodate this busy event. All the detailed information is in the agenda package itself, so I won't go through all of that, but more or less wanted to re-bring this up to start bringing some excitement towards this event. Thank you.
Thank you for that update, Brenton. I'm very excited for this to happen. It's going to bring much joy for me to see the Toronto Maple Leafs alumni. Hopefully they lose. I'm not a Maple Leafs fan. Everyone knows I'm not, but I'm glad that they're coming here, and I'm very excited for this to come. I've talked to the organizers of this event during the Jays game. I said, I'm going to grow out my mullet and I'll get the L.I. Frady mullet back and bring it back. If there's any comments on this particular item, I'll open it up for comments. If not, We'll go right along to the last item of tonight's agenda. Another verbal from Brenton, infield turf and funding update and youth baseball program. Go ahead, Brenton.
Thank you very much. As earlier mentioned in the meeting, with the approval from council, we do plan on installing the infield turf to be ready to use for next summer. We did just submit last month our Blue Jays Field of Dream applications again to try and get some additional funding to cover the cost of installing the outfield as well. With that, we also want to introduce a youth baseball program. So in partnership with RPAN, the Recreation Parks Association of Nunavut, they offer our day camp leader training, as mentioned earlier, throughout a week into June. They also partner with the Jays Care Foundation, and they're going to have some staff come up and provide hopefully some coaching and training clinics to not only our staff, but hopefully community members as well, to try and get some more people involved and really try and get some support and help to kick off a pilot youth baseball program this summer. Any support, recommendations, or suggestions on that are always welcomed to try and make that as successful as possible. Thank you.
Thanks for that update, Brenton, and I'll open the floor, obviously, for questions and or comments. First on my queue is Deputy Mayor Smith. Go ahead.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Brenton. If we could somehow swindle Alejandro Kirk into coming to, like, teach the youth, that would be great. It's my boy. Otherwise, like, this is very exciting. I am curious. I know that we are doing the infield. Do we have an idea of how, like, as I know, if we, you know, it's an economy of scale, right? If we were able to find a way to do the whole field at the same time, it would be cheaper to do it all at once than to do it in pieces. Do we have an idea of how much more it would cost to do the whole field? And are there, and have we tried to find opportunities for, you know, like corporate sponsorship around town with the businesses? Are we, do we have any progress in any of that? Thank you.
Thank you for those questions. Looks like Brenton will answer that for you. Go ahead, Brenton.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor Smith. We have been looking into multiple different avenues to try and cover to also install the outfield as well. To give an estimate, it's about a $250,000 difference in terms of adding the outfield in addition with the infield. Not only through funding, but also sponsorship opportunities, there is some stuff that we are working on along those lines. Yes.
Any follow-up, Deputy Mayor Smith? Okay. Next on my queue is Laura. Go ahead, Laura.
With regards to the youth baseball program, what is the age range?
Go ahead, Brenton.
Thank you for your question, Laura. We are in the beginning stages of planning that, so there's still a lot of details that are going to need to be worked out. We are hoping to basically try and target youth from, you know, age 5 up until 18 who may want to learn how to play baseball or just be involved in an ongoing program. Again, some of the details are still going to have to be figured out, but hoping to target as broad of age categories as possible.
You want to comment, Don, or you want to comment first? Okay, well, next on my queue is Hillary. So, you want to go first? Okay. Go ahead. Go ahead, Deputy Mayor Smith. Hold on. I got to figure this out.
Thank you. And I want to just speak for Hillary because I know she's going to have to, she will be the one to answer some of this, but I do believe the softball program, I think, is 16 and up in Iqaluit for the adult softball league. So I imagine it would be kids younger than 16, because I think 16 and over can participate in the regular league. But Hillary used to be the president, so she might be able to comment on that. So thank you.
Okay. Hillary, hold on, let me figure this out. It's my first time looking at this system. Go ahead.
We're not professionals either. So yes, you are correct. It's 16 and over for the adult league, and that is because the adult league is a society that is registered and insured under Slow Pitch National, SPN, and that's where we receive our liability insurance. So to that matter, I do appreciate that the city is taking on the responsibility of developing a youth league, because I wish Councillor Glukak was here today, because this summer, some women tried to form a women's league, and one of the challenges that we faced with that was that we were not a registered society, and so we could not apply for Sport Nunavut funding through Sport for Life because we were not a registered entity. And so that is a challenge that all small and sort of nascent organizations in communities face, is sort of the bureaucratic end of forming an organization. So I do appreciate that the city is taking this on, because I think without that, there would be a lot of challenges and barriers that perhaps volunteers might not be willing to take on. Although I say that in the hopes that as this program develops and over the years, there will be interest in taking that on, because there are so many more funding opportunities for community organizations to receive funding than through a municipal program. So just putting that out there. Thanks.
Thank you for that, Hillary Casey. If there's any more comments, questions on this particular item? I see none. Our next item is adjournment. I will need a... Oh, you have a... Sorry. Laura has a question. Go ahead.
Sorry. Just going back to the meeting minutes of February 13th, I had mentioned that in a previous meeting to February 2025, that it had been suggested that we have more than two meetings to be held yearly, and we haven't received a status update. Because I would like to put forward that we increase the number of meetings annually.
Thank you for that. Laura, we are under the bylaw supposed to have one once a month, but if under the bylaw it says meet monthly under bylaw 790 that I read through today. I would have to look it up again, but I believe it does say meet once a month. Just give me a second. I'll look at it quickly. If Bill or Deputy Mayor Smith, do you want to comment?
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Laura. I don't know about the monthly. I do think in our terms of reference, it defines in our terms of reference twice annually. I do want to say, so we've recently established a new committee within the city, which is the Governance and Priority Committee. And one of the first things that committee is doing is we are evaluating all of the committees that are existing right now. And as part of that process, we will look at the frequency of meetings and along with a variety of other things within that committee. So that is something that we are evaluating separately from here. So thank you.
Hold on. You want to comment? Go ahead.
Thank you, Councillor Tilley. Just to introduce myself, I'm Brianna. I'm the city clerk. So just to give a comment on that, in terms of scheduling, we do try and schedule a number of meetings for each committee each year. It does just factor in with what we can do with availability of the other committees that are going on and council meetings and interpreter availability as well. So we do certainly try and schedule as many committee meetings as we can, but it does depend on lots of factors and availability. So just wanted to mention that. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Brianna, for that clarification. If there's any more comments on that, I have the floor open for any comments. If there's not, our next item is adjournment. Moved by Deputy Mayor Smith, seconded by Joanne Smith. All in favor? Unanimous. Have a good night, folks.